Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Every week, every Thursday, we give you the chance to put your questions to our experts. And this week, we're talking about sleep. One of my favourite things to do. From insomnia to snoring, whatever your questions, get them into us. 53106. Tom Coleman, health scientist and sleep coach, is with me to answer all the queries. Tom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, Stan is on the line. Stan, what is your question for Tom today?
Hi, Tom. Just a query about just right before I fall asleep, I just wake up gasping for air. I thought it was sleep apnea, but I've been advised it's not, because sleep apnea is something that goes on over the course of the night and when you're asleep. But any advice would be great for you. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. Thanks, Dan. 1800, actually, 453106 is the number if you want to call us and ask Tom the questions yourself. What's your answer for Stan?
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Stan. I suppose often when we're transitioning or when we're falling asleep, we can have this thing called a hypnic jerk, where we suddenly kind of wake up. A hypnic jerk is involuntary sort of muscle spasm. Scientists don't actually know why it happens. It's the same as a hiccup in terms of being, we can't really control it. So the advice would be to make sure you're properly unwound. Don't drink alcohol, obviously, before bed if you can. But, you know, I suppose it's the body and the nervous system kind of shutting down, and we get that kind of sudden sensation of falling or not breathing.
It's kind of, yeah, it's like I've had that. Like, where you're nearly, you think you're falling off a wall. You kind of jump, like.
Yeah. Very suddenly, just happens. And as I said, scientists can't actually explain them fully. We know what they are. Just to take care that you're not fully, stressed out or if you exercise too close to bedtime, that can kind of increase the incidence of hypnic jerk. Yeah.
Okay, Stan, listen, thanks a million for that again. 1800 453 106. Mary is on the line as well. Mary, what's your question for Tom today?
Hi there, and hi, Tom.
Hi, Mary.
Look, never had a problem sleeping before. I'm 70 years of age, but pretty active. And this has been going on for over a year now. I go to sleep, no problem whatsoever, 11:30, 12, whatever. But I wake at 3 a.m. and that's it. I'm awake, and it could last an hour or 2 hours. So this, as I said, has been going on for over a year. So I eventually went to the doctor, and she gave me kind of very mild sleeping tablet for. She told me to take it for a month to break the habit. So I actually just took half a pill rather than the whole one for the month, and it worked brilliantly. And I knew I was going to go to sleep every night, no problem. But the minute I stopped, literally the following night, that was it. Back awake again. So I've been doing this now for, I've done it three times, say 3 months of taking a pill, half a pill, stopping, waking, three nights in a row, and I just go back and take the pill. But I don't want to be taking pills for the rest of my life. So
is there
any solution, I don't even know the reason for it, you know?
Well, you know, inadvertently, we can train our brains into a negative habit, you know, without meaning to. And that's what has happened to you. You know, your brain is kind of waking you up. Now, as the night goes on, Mary, your sleep is going to be getting lighter naturally. And the sleep pressure is going to be dropping in the brain. So I suppose to some degree, you know, most of us do have wake episodes. But what we tend to get very stressed out by it. Oh, I'm awake again. And you check the time and all that. So I suppose what you need to do is find a different solution. And I would sort of push you towards cognitive behavioral therapy. I mean, your type of insomnia is sleep maintenance, you know, is waking up. So I'd say firstly, kind of change the goalpost. Don't stress out about it. Try and make the goal relaxation. I mean, if you do get some CBT, and that will sort of give you some techniques, and that's, I suppose, a solution that, you know, that you can build upon yourself, and you can build what I call sleep confidence, that when you do wake up, you're not worried about getting back to sleep. And that's, I think, maybe what you might be looking for.
There's a text in here actually just on Mary and Mary's point, and I don't know maybe if it follows on to it, but should you get up if it's happening? Because there's a text in just somebody listening, Mary, to you asking if the same thing happens to them.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think you have a strategy. So if it goes beyond a certain point, then you do get up, because one of the first treatments for insomnia is depriving yourself, is actually getting up, staying awake, and what that does is build sleep pressure. So the next night it should be easier for you to maintain sleep. that's what I would do. I would set a time frame on it, because there's nothing worse than lying in bed for 3 hours trying to sleep, you know.
Mary, thank you. I hope that helps in some way. And thanks for getting in touch with us. Kerry is with us as well. Kerry, what's your query for Tom?
Hi, Tom. I can't seem to stop scrolling, like get off my phone at night. I keep scrolling for hours on social media, and next thing, a few hours have passed.
Yeah.
What can I do about that?
Brilliant. Look, very good point, Kerry. A lot of people, this is a huge issue, social media. I mean, the apps are designed in such a way that they hijack a sort of primordial reward pathway in the brain. It's the chemical equivalent to gambling. If you're scrolling, you get that little hit of dopamine, and it encourages you to do the behavior again and again and again. You know, highly addictive. Time just seems to fly by when you're on screens as well. And part of the reason for that is when we're on screens, our blink rate reduces by about 65%. And blink rate is one of the things that kind of regulate our perception of the passage of time. So that's why it just flies by. So what I'd say to you, Kerry, is have a look at your nighttime routine. Set some boundaries. Set some times out where you go, okay, I'm going to allow myself sometime where I'm scrolling, because people, you know, it maybe helps them deal with you know, maybe the stress in their lives, or you know, some chewing gum for the brain, and that's fine. But I would say, you know, 90 minutes before, set a clear boundary, and you know, then revert to a sleep routine that doesn't involve scrolling. The technology is fine. I mean, relaxing music or meditation or sound, that's all good. But if you're scrolling, yeah, that's a huge issue.
Okay, listen, thank you, Kerry, and I hope that's some positive advice or tangible advice for you today in the programme. 1800 453 106 is the number to call. Hilda is with us too. Hilda, what's your query?
Sometimes if I wake up during the night or when in the morning, I have pins and needles in my hands. I don't get them during the day or anything, just when I wake up.
Okay, so you know, I suppose we change our position when we're lying down. Sometimes fluids can gather in the ankles or the legs or the arms. If we think about, you know, gravity, that's what may be happening with you. So I suppose, you know, what we try and do is look at things that will improve our circulation. Look, certain foods may help with that, vasodilators, regular exercise, massage, things like that. So you could check with your GP to see if there's anything else, to see if that's indicative.
I have done that.
Yeah.
He's taken blood tests, and that he's just a bit puzzled.
Yeah, so, and again, sleep positions, maybe look at your sleep position. You could try side sleeping as opposed to back sleeping. Is it on one side? Is it your legs?
No, it's basically my hands.
Just your hand. The extremities would be the first thing that would kind of suffer from anything to do with circulation and the pins and needles or maybe nerves. So that's what I would say to you. Try a little bit of try and include more exercise if you can. Maybe a warm shower before bed as well. That may help. And try and change up the sleep position
and see
if that helps.
You know the way sometimes if you sleep on your hand under the pillow, you can...
That's right, yeah. I mean, you know, you cut off the circulation. So, I mean, that could be happening.
Yeah.
It could be happening. It could be that. Because, I mean, we know side sleepers, you know, they get more wrinkles, for example. So everyone's sleeping on their back to look more beautiful. But, that's what certainly could be happening.
Okay. Listen, Hilda, thank you.
Thanks
a million for getting in touch. Alan is with us as well. Alan, what would you like to know?
Hi, Tom. I suffer from tinnitus. Any suggestions on getting to sleep easier, or any to deal with it when you wake up? To get off to sleep, I normally listen to a podcast, and then the content distracts me from the noise. And then obviously there's obviously noise as well, which is distracting. So any suggestions?
Yeah, look, that's a really tough one. You know, and tinnitus, that constant noise, and we're trying to, you know, some schools of thought would say to actually, instead of trying to push it away or avoid it, to actually tune into it and listen to it. It's like the thing, if you have a repetitive song in your head, the best thing to do is actually go and listen to the song. So I think certainly meditation and breath work would certainly help that. There's been a lot of research from people like Daniel Goleman, who wrote a book called Altered Traits on meditation and the power of meditation in dealing with things like tinnitus and pain management. So definitely try some meditation and breath work, and that may certainly help.
Cheers, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks a million. Actually, on Kerry's question that she had about the scrolling, this listener says, my wife swapped scrolling for a podcast. She's literally out for the count after 15 minutes, currently listening to Vogue and Joe at the moment. Mags in Kilkenny says, I find if I have a busy day and I don't eat much, then I always wake up around 3 a.m. like your last caller. Yeah. And even though I don't feel hungry, if I have a yogurt or something small, it actually puts me back to sleep. I think there's definitely a link there, says Max.
There is indeed. All these systems are linked up. Your digestive system, you know, your body's intelligent. If you, with some people, if you don't eat for hours and hours and hours before your sleep, and then you sleep, of course, you're not going to be eating again. The body may wake you up looking for calories. And when you eat, it starts to rest and digest the parasympathetic system as well. So your body may be looking for calories if you haven't eaten for a long time. The yogurts will contain things like tryptophan, which will help with serotonin production, help relax you, help with melatonin. Certain foods will benefit sleep as well. So, yes, it absolutely is connected.
Okay. 1800 453 106, if you want to call us here. I'm talking to Tom Coleman. He's my guest. We're chatting about how to get a good night's sleep. Jasmine has texted in to say, I've been experiencing sleep paralysis since I was 18. I'm now 28. Is there any treatment for it? I've been able to establish and feel when I'm slipping into a very deep sleep and wake myself, but it would be great if there was a way of controlling it.
Yeah, I mean, look, sleep paralysis can be very frightening. It occurs during REM sleep while we're dreaming, generally, and then what can happen is it leaks into other phases. And while we dream, we've no perception of time or space. So it's warped in a sense. So we can kind of start waking up and not be able to move. Very frightening. So again, look, there are medical interventions. Also, again, we'd look at things like what's happening in your life, CBT, stress, those type of things can heavily kind of influence it. So, you know, sleep is often viewed as a barometer to how well we're dealing with life and stress. So stimulants, sedatives will agitate it as well. So the caffeines, the alcohol and obviously stress.
Okay. Any advice for snorers? My husband keeps me awake every night, says this texter. And then interestingly, I have another text who says, my wife is a snorer. It's a race to fall asleep because if you don't get asleep before her, you haven't a chance. It's you have to try and get off first. Is there anything we can do? It's hardly the same couple texting in.
Well, some people would say get a bedroom divorce before you get a real one. There has been studies on this, and eventually what happens is the partner who's awake just gets more and more resentful.
You know? Yeah.
Because somebody once said it's like you know, it's like they're gloating about the fact that they're asleep, the snoring. But yeah, look, I would say elevate the bed. Weight loss is one of the first things because the airways, the muscles and the tissues relax in the neck and the tongue, and that can cause snoring. So think about elevating the bed. The back position is the most likely you're going to snore. So side sleeping is much better.
Maybe so don't sleep on your back, sleep on your
sleep
side.
Your back,
and when
yeah.
you say elevate the bed, do you mean here you're sleeping on five pillows? Like
I would say, you know, you could elevate the front of the bed by, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 inches, and that could be
actually
enough.
put something under it and lift it.
Yeah,
all right.
So that could work. So you can get nasal strips or decongestants as well. But you know, weight loss, smoking, out smoking if you do smoke, those are the, and then for the person who's there beside them suffering, you know, get a really good set of earplugs.
Do the earplugs work, Tom? I've tried them for getting to sleep and when I was on early shifts, and I never had any luck with them.
It just depends on the person. I think there's a threshold. You can get titanium earplugs and they will cut out a certain amount of the sound. We don't need to cut it out completely, but there is that threshold. So it is personal. Some people are very sensitive to it. Other people just need, you know, a little, and that's enough.
Okay, as well. Listen, thanks a million for joining us, Tom, here again in studio today to answer all of your questions, your queries. I hope you found it helpful. Tom Coleman there, health scientist and sleep coach. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, for joining us on the programme today. That is all we have time for. We are going to come back, though, to the discussion around friends again because of the just the volume of people getting in touch. If you do want to, the email address, that's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. You can always subscribe to the programme on the Newstalk app. My thanks to the production team, Michael Quilligan on sound, producer Heather Blackburn with research by Ross Leahy and Roisin Davis. The editor was Mark Simpson. Sean McCreef will be here next. I'll be back at Lunchtime Live midday tomorrow.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.